that would rewrite your life and your destiny once more. Hallelujah. Take the opportunity that you've come into a space where you want to listen to the wisdom of God that will change your life today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Please don't be distracted by anything. I've told you that yesterday. I said if there is anything in your background that will distract you, tell that thing that you need to save your soul. Amen. I believe today, again, Ghana has had a tragedy. Hallelujah. Some noble men in the country in leadership have fallen. May their soul rest in peace. Hallelujah. There is one key thing I want you to understand here, that this is not to say that whatever they were doing was not important, but understand that your work you do cannot be so important than you knowing God. Your work you do cannot necessarily stop death. It can't say that, okay, maybe you are the highest office in the land is that of the president. It can't say that you are the president, so you shouldn't die. Amen. There is no position, status in life that has the ability to stop the assignment and the appointment that God allows death to do, unless he, God himself, do it. So we should understand that we cannot also be too busy concerning the work on our soul. Some people get so busy in life trying to, I don't know what you want to do, that you just can't spend an hour in the presence of God to do some, to pray to God. You just can't do that. But when your work calls you, you have time for that. When you have to go and make money, you have time for that. And I tell you, those things don't have dominion over your life on earth. They don't. The things that men have made, you have dominion over them. They don't have dominion over you. Even money. God said that we should not allow money to rule us. But there are things that are important in life that has the ability to rule over you. Those ones, you don't care to know them and to have an upper hand in them. I pray that the tragic occurrences in the country will not be something that will just be a by story, but it will be a reminder to those that are there that, as we have repeatedly been saying and be talking about soul, this, that, the body is not really the most important thing in life. Whether you put a suit on the body, you wear the best designer clothes on the body. Look, if the soul, time comes for the soul to depart, those things will not save you. The soul will depart. But the most important thing for them now, even as they face this tragic event, is that now, where would their soul be? It is the most important thing. And I believe that if they knew exactly where their soul was going to be, probably some of the appointment, they would want to spend 2 hours in prayer every single day or so. I don't know their prayer life, what they do, but some people even pay people to pray for them. They are too busy. They don't really have a personal relationship with God. And saying this, I'm not saying that just because of them. Some of you, you don't even have the money to give to people to pray for you, but you too, you are lazy at praying. You don't even want to pray. Hallelujah. Yeah. I was speaking to Pastor Lord, and we were discussing the concept and the issue of light here. Today, I want to continue with some of the principles of light and how it governs our destiny as human beings. Now, you need to understand that when we talk about the light thing, we are not overly trying to be spiritual. It's not a spiritual jargon that we are manufacturing in the realms of the spirit. Hallelujah. It's not a spiritual jargon that we are trying to manufacture in the spirit to teach you. It's like, you know, when a child is born afresh, or when children are growing, you feel like you can look back at your life that at a certain age, you didn't even think that you would die. There are some people who still are delusional about the fact that they would die. They think they won't die. And saying this is not putting fear in you. Saying this is making you wise, because you take stock of your life, you assess your life, and you can project yourself beyond the mortal life and look into the eternal life that is ahead of you. Whether you are fearful of death or you are not fearful of death, when it comes, it will happen. So when we talk about it, don't think it's not the subject of fear, but we are trying to give you a mindset that would live beyond this life. There are people who feel like because they are youthful, they look beautiful, they wear the best, whatever, possibly maybe they won't die. It's a delusion. Now, when you are young, you don't think of death, or you don't even think you would die. And like I said, some people are not even young, but they still think maybe they won't die. Okay. Now, that truth hits, begin to become something that you live with at a certain age, because you become cautious of life. You've gone through life and a lot of things. There are also certain spiritual truths that you have to be told, and it has to be revealed to you, so that you can have a mindset perspective in which you can appreciate that this is the principle of life, and I came to meet it, and I cannot change it. One of the fundamental things that rule men, no matter the dominion you have on this earth, and you know, the Genesis mandate is something that a lot of believers, because it starts from Genesis, we take the Genesis mandate or the dominion mandate God gave to man, and we apply it to every form of rule that man has authority over. Beloved, I want to tell you that it is not everything that man has dominion over. On this earth, it's not everything that man has dominion over. And I'm taking my time to speak so that it will sink in. On this earth that you live, it is not everything that man has dominion over. In fact, man has dominion over so many things, and God has even made it in such a way that the snare and the fear of man even fall on certain animals. Immediately they see a man, they are running away. Some animals, when they see other animals, they will try to kill them. They will try to go and kill them. But when they see men or see a man, they will try to run away. Naturally. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand that it is beyond that there are certain things that has not been given as things that men should have dominion over. When you read the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 7, the Bible says that the disciples asked Jesus, Master, Rabbi, Lord, at what point in time would you restore the kingdom to Israel? And what was the answer that Jesus gave? And like I said, when you read the Bible with a lot of light, you would have life application that would change your life forever. I am here for life application. I'm not just here for deep revelation. Deep revelation should make you wild. It should bring a life application in your life that would make you live a life that is like, you become dangerous. Let me put it that way. People would ask, how come this guy does this? This guy is, you come across so unique. Why? Because you have what we call keys to the kingdom. Jesus said to Peter that, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And because of that, you'll be able to do exploits with them. There are keys. There are keys. The keys of the kingdom were key of knowledge, because it was under the auspices of revelation that Jesus made that mandate when he spoke concerning the identity of the Son of God. Then Jesus said that upon you I'll build and I'll give you the keys, blah blah, 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 blah. He made that declaration. Hallelujah. So keys in the kingdom are in the dimension of knowledge, and knowledge in the kingdom is in the dimension of light. As we journey on, we will make it more clearer. But in Acts chapter 1 verse 7, reading from the verse 6 coming, when they asked Jesus that when would you restore, Jesus made it very clear. I've come to save you guys. I've given you dominion. I've given you power. But there is one thing. What is there in Acts chapter 1 verse 7? The Bible says that he said to them that it is not given unto you to know the times or the dates that he uses plural term. So he wasn't just speaking concerning the event of restoring the kingdom. He was telling them a mystery concerning life. He said that it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Other translation would say that he replied, the Father alone has authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. You know that in the domain of man, when we are speaking of times and seasons, then we are speaking of the application of the greater light and the lesser light that were created. The Bible says that when we go back to Genesis, the Bible says that they were created to mark what? They were created to mark what? Yes, times and seasons. Thank you. They were created to mark times and seasons. So, the what fundamentally governs time and season is not when you feel like you are cold. It's not when you feel like you are hot. It is light. Light is the governor of times and seasons. And I'm not just talking about dark light and bright light. I'm talking about the concept and the phenomena called light. It's already 23 past. Like I would have speak in such a way that you come to understand that. In fact, in the book of Colossians, it says that by him were all things made and all things were made for him. Speaking of Jesus Christ. That whether be dominion, thrones, beings, whatever it is. And in speaking of this, Jesus Christ, if that is the case, then the man called Lucifer himself was made or created by Jesus and for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So you should understand, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that God made two great light. They are all light. They are all, I say again, they are all light. It's not like the two great light he made. He made one, you term it dark, and as you call the other light. No. They were all two great light. The rule and the govern of one light is for the night. And the rule and the governance of another light is for the day. Listen. But Jesus made them understood that times and seasons that are set by the Father is not something as according to his own authority. It's not something he has given for men to know. But beloved, would you know that times and seasons are not something that necessarily, I'll say this, listen carefully, are not something that necessarily belong to God. Okay, so anytime you see that God would make reference to time, then he is speaking of something that belongs to man, because God lives in the realm of timelessness and eternity. So anytime God will speak of something he wants to do in time, then it means that it is something that belongs to man, but at the moment and point in time, he has not allowed it to come into the domain of man. It is still a secret that he has kept, but the thing is for man, and at the appointed time, he would make it known, or he would make it known under his own judgment and preview. And the way he concealed that thing is that he conceals it by the order of time and season. Every man become a subject of this called time. And so the phenomena that we experience, that we call time, is a phenomena that is alive because of what? Light. Listen carefully to me. So your destiny is governed by light. Your dominion mandate does not surpass the rulership of light. I repeat again, your dominion mandate, as we quote in the book of Genesis, and God has given and we are done. What I want you to understand that it does not surpass the rulership of light. Because the rulership of light enforces times and seasons. As I am here now, I repeat, because the sun has decided to retreat in its glory, according to the geographical location that I am in at this point in time, I have the rule of the lesser light, which is the moon, and it is dark here. Hey, I can pray, I can shout, I can bury my head in the sun, I can do all kinds of crazy things. I will still experience the season of darkness that I'm in now in the UK. No matter what I do, I'll have to experience this phenomena. That means that my desire, whatever it is that I'm desiring in me, whatever it is that I want in me, whatever it is, it doesn't surpass the rule of time that establishes or enforces seasons, times and seasons. And what makes it so important to us is that in times and seasons, there is a hidden element of secrecy that God has kept under his own judgment and jurisdiction. So in the daytime, there is a secrecy to your destiny that has not been revealed to you yet. In the night time, there is a secrecy to your destiny that has not been revealed to you yet. And it is crazy. There is a secret. And it takes the Father to reveal that to you. It takes the Father to reveal that to you. Tonight, just so I don't bug a lot of things in your head, which I have a lot to say. I think this series might run into next month. Trust me. Because there is a lot to learn in that. Because we must sit in a place where we talk about the personality of light and speak concerning Jesus Christ throughout the books of the Bible. It's marvelous. But listen very carefully to me. Yesterday, when we were in the book of Genesis, I revealed to you that evening or night and day is not necessarily a phenomena of the sun and the moon. In the book of Genesis, from verse 3 going, when he created light, when he called forth light and light came, or light was manifested, what happened is that the Bible says that he separated light from darkness. So God did the separation, light from darkness. Why? Because God, it's not that God needed necessarily the rule of light. That is why he separated light from darkness. No. You should understand that in a default state, light would always surpass what? Darkness. But according to the mandate of God, as long as concerning this earth, this is where I want you to pay attention to me. Concerning this earth that we live in, God, it is God's mandate and plan that he allows darkness to have a form of rule. Look, guys, and we need to understand this, and we need to understand this. It is not according to our will that we have darkness in this world. In fact, it is according to the will of God that there is darkness, and we came to meet it. What we need is to know the truth and the will of the Father concerning why there is darkness, and know how to walk in a way that this darkness and its rule does not have dominion over our life. So the Bible says that God separated the light from the darkness. Why? Because if he doesn't do the separation, when he said, let there be light, we won't see the darkness what again. But God was not actually in the time and season where he wanted light to have a permanent rule. It was awaiting another time of manifestation where the order of things will be perfectly restored in a way that we would have a permanent resident with light forever. So he separated it. When he separated it, the Bible says he called the darkness what? Night or evening, and he called the light what? Day. This separation of light was not the sun and the moon. It's different. Go to your books. Genesis. It's different. Again, I repeat, this separation of light is not the sun and the moon. This separation of light is the separation of the rule and the domain of two kingdoms. When God said, let there be light, and immediately light came, the kingdom of darkness was completely surpassed, and it wasn't, the its influence were nowhere to be found. So the Bible says that when he said that, he saw that, and the light came and he did a separation. Then the Bible said God saw that it was good. Now, a lot of people say this. They say God needed light to create. No, God has no need of light. God is light. Let me walk you through Genesis. Let me walk you through Genesis in a dimension. Listen. We human beings have need of light. Why? Because we live in a temporal phenomena where we have both rules. We have the rule of the light of darkness, and we have the rule of the light of what? Day. To us, we would have loved to have the rule of the light of day permanently. But according to the wisdom of God, he had permitted that the rule of darkness also has an influence over the affairs of man. Why? As we journey on, you will find out. As we journey on, we will find out. Because the perfect order of things, Revelation 21:23. Somebody open and read for us as I talk in this dimension. The perfect order of things is that Revelation 21:23. If you are ready, let me know. The perfect order of things is such that when we have been translated into glory, and we are at the end of, and we are in the perfect state with God, we will dwell only permanently with light. Permanently, we will have the day. What does Revelation 21:23 says? Who is there? Yep. Yes, please. Yes. The Lamb, which is the Lamb of God, which is Jesus, will become the what? The lamp and the light of that city. He said that that city will have no need of what? Sun or moon. So we in that dispensation, we will not have sun and moon. And in that dispensation, we will not have night. Somebody say we will not have night. So the perfect order of things is such that we will live permanently in the day season. So when we enter into glory, we won't sleep, as in also our breath. You say you are tired, so I'm going to sleep. No, we don't have that. When the Bible says that our Father neither sleeps nor slumber, how do you expect the sons to sleep and slumber? Have you heard an angel sleeps? Have you heard a story of an angel sleeping in heaven before? You don't understand the power of God, so you won't understand this phenomena. Look, you won't sleep. If you've ever encountered the presence and the glory of God, you wouldn't even have a consciousness of being tired to sleep. An angel baked bread for Elijah. Just cake, angelic cake he ate. He walked 40 days and 40 nights nonstop to Horeb. So listen to me carefully here in the book of Genesis as we sit in there. These lights that were separated, Revelation is giving us a clue that the light that came is the light of the Lamb. Now, it was separated in the sense that we have the separation of these two lights. But God separated them because he was not necessarily wanting to have that light, as in light, stay here. No, he separated it because of darkness. That's the most important thing. In fact, God separated the light from the darkness because of darkness, not because of light. And then when he did that, he said that it was good, because he had made a too clear demarcation and distinction between these two rulership, where he feels that it is not the order of time for darkness to completely be diminished. And I want you to accept this truth from the beginning. It was in the beginning. We came to meet it. It is there. Every man in life, John 1 speaks of something. He says that this is the light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. I want to ask you, if the light that the Bible says he was in the world, but the world did not know him, that means that every man that cometh, whether you know Christ or you don't know Christ, Christ know you, but you do not know him. And he is the light that gives you life to come into this world. If then he is the light that gives you light to come into this world, my question is that the darkness, which represents a form of bonini, the little bit of sin that we know, who gave you the light of darkness into this world? Just as Christ lighted many with the light of day in this world, or life in this world, no, so likewise, darkness also lighted many with the light of darkness in this world. And listen to me, every person in your life, I believe Ghana is dark now, isn't it? Okay, if you can see a dark sky wherever you are, it is a reminder to you and your life that darkness still has a form of rule in the life of humanity. It is very important. Look, it doesn't get dark just for us to go and sleep. It doesn't get dark just for you to find a boy or girl to go and do something somewhere in the bedroom. It doesn't get dark for you to go to the club and drink. That is not the merit of darkness. The reason why God in his wisdom allowed that you would experience a form of darkness in the day is to remind you that spiritually there is a walking rule of darkness spiritually as well. And Jesus was cautious of this rule of darkness even in his days, that he was not so pompous of his anointing. I'm anointed and it's darkness, I don't mind. No. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it wrong. John chapter 7, verse 1 to 8. The Bible says that after this, Jesus walked from place to place in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Do you know what that represents? It represents a season or a period of a dark rule or moment that was awaiting Jesus. But he would not usher himself to be killed because it was not his word, his time. Look, let me tell you this. There are many people that do not have knowledge of the mystery of times because their light is weak. And because of that, they have died before their time. I've come to tell you today, if you come to understand this mystery, you will know that there are some people that have died before their time. Man of God, woman of God, don't sit somewhere and tell me nobody can kill me before my time. I don't die before my time. No, yes, no, nobody can kill you, but you can, in our foolish walk, we can fall into the traps of death and live before our time. We can stumble without light in darkness. So here, the essence of light was not because of this. It was broad daylight that they were having the feast, but he won't go. Why? Because they were seeking to kill him. So when we speak of darkness in Ghana, in the Ghana rendering, they will say esumedruno. Where the esumedru? So the people that have died esumedromo, or darkness has reached them, or they've come into, you know, their night season. But I was sitting here and I was saying that. So these people, sorry to say this, but in the morning, nobody joins a devotion where in praying they would have this sense of light that would say that today we are not going, or something would happen, the machine will not start. Look, why we spend some ridiculous amount of time in the presence of God is nothing, because we don't want to cut our life short. Just like Paul was saying, he says they kill us every day, but we don't die. How? It's not only because maybe they will shoot them. Basically, they plot to kill. Jesus appeared to Paul. The Bible says, he says, he stood by me and said to me, he strengthened Paul and told him that he should be bold, he should go. They will not. Nobody will kill him. Why? Because he has given him light. Again, this same God would warn Paul and tell him that don't go, because this will happen to you. Why? Because the light will guide you. Bible says, John 7, 1 to 8. They were looking to kill Jesus. Verse 2, John 7, 2. Now the Jewish feast of Tabernacle, which is booths, was approaching. So his brothers said to him, leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may also see the works that you do. And listen to what his brothers said to him. Very sad. For no one does anything in secret when he wants to be known publicly. If you must do these things, show yourself openly to the world. Make yourself known. This is what has killed a lot of young men of God, that God gave them such great light, but they didn't sit in a place where they would be guided by the true light of light and brooded over their calling and destiny, that they overly exposed themselves, that now they are nowhere to be found. Whether they are nowhere to be found or they have been corrupted and contaminated. The brothers are telling Jesus, you say you'll be your God. Go! Show us who you are. But verse 6, something very important, which tells us that Jesus was under the influence and the rulership of the seasons and times when he was clothed with humanity. Some of us feel like we are beyond time and season. My brother, my sister, maybe you have some form of youthfulness today. Maybe you have some form of handsomeness and beauty today. It is not forever. Maybe being clothed in flesh, you think that is all that there is to the glory of God. No. There are angels that bow to God. They are clothed in gold. They are clothed in diamond. Your flesh is carbon. It's made of mud from this dusty earth. There are beings who are made with fire. That is their substance. Even them, in their hour, in their, how do you call it, their beauty and all that, they still bow to God. You don't have time for God. Because of your little word, CDs and pounds, you don't have time for God. Because of what it is that you've acquired, you don't have time for God. Look, there is a consciousness you should have within yourself because of light, so that you are wise of the times and seasons that are ahead of you. Verse 6 says that, John chapter 7, verse 6. So Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come. That means that whatever he was doing, he was under what? Time. And if he's under time, that means that he's being guided by light. Don't forget the phenomena. There are people who have no respect for time, because to them they have dominion mandate. Oh, young court, we're going to do it. Oh, whatever time. Oh, let's go. No. There are seasons that if you travel, I was asking Sof Lord this after. I said, Sof, look, imagine I get up at this time of the night and I say that I want to do I want to go and work in my garden at this time of the night where there is no sun for me. And in my human and carnal audacity, I go stand in my garden and I'm saying that, let the sun come. Let the sun come so that I will do my garden. No, it won't come. Why? Because I'm in the season of darkness where I don't have to do garden in that this time. But there is a season of daylight coming where I can boldly step out and work and clearly do what I have to do. There are people who took steps. It was night time spiritually, but they took a step that they were supposed to take in daytime. If you take a step that you are supposed to take in the daytime, in the nighttime, you will stumble. No matter how good your intentions are, beloved, listen to me, you will stumble. Don't invest in the dark season. Don't invest in the dark season. Don't marry in the dark season. Don't relate in the dark season. Don't do what in the dark season. Don't take life decisions in that. If you are in the dark of whatever it is that you are doing, don't do it. Don't do it with a prideful heart that, oh, I have the light. No, there is a rule to the ordinances of light. The principle of light is that there is a 12-hour season for the glory of the sun, and there is a 12-hour season for the glory of the moon. Don't take it away from them. It is greater than you. Man, their rulership is greater than you. Observe that and you will live long. And this is a spiritual statement. It is not your morning and your good. It's not your good morning and your good evening that I'm talking about. I am talking about the ordinances of things spiritually as it pertains to men that are clothed in mortality. There are some conversations. There are some conversations. They were not even daylight conversations. You had them in the night. And again, I repeat, I'm not talking about this evening, no. I'm talking about the spiritual evening. He says, my time has not yet come, but the time is right for you. And the principle and the rule of time is that everybody lives in different seasons of their light. Beloved, listen, if my light is shining today, somebody light will shine today with her big whatever it is, they will get a car. Your light will shine tomorrow with your academics, you get a car. Everybody should follow in the order of whatever God is calling to them to do. In your prayer life, you will get. I'm using just that as an example. But what I'm trying to tell you is that we all live in different time season. Who is here that maybe is in the US or whatever it is? You probably find out that as I am in darkness season here, they are in light. They are in daylight. We should learn the wisdom of the natural things of life and see the spiritual implication of it. Maybe this hour and season, it is nighttime. You can't be overly too productive and fruitful, but you can keep watch in the night. In prayer, where you don't have to do anything until the light tells you to move. Whilst you wait in darkness, what do? Because we don't know, we watch. Because you know the watchtower, it is very active during the what? The night time. Yeah. Watchman bia adwuma ba anajo. Every watchman, the main time they're supposed to work is night time. Now, at night time, and your watchman is sleeping, but daytime and he's making noise. Hey, madam, I'll be there. And by nighttime, they will come and the armed robbers will come, and then this watchman is sleeping. He's useless. He is needed most in the nighttime. What am I saying? Times and seasons are set in place so that your spiritual life would align. Nighttime, when men ought to pray, men are sleeping. But when it is day, do you know what they will say? What they will say is, whilst men slept. And funny enough, when some pastors quote this, they will literally mean that when men were sleeping, physically, when men were sleeping, because they went to bed and they slept, the enemy came and so. That is not what God is talking about, beloved. He is talking about the weakest moment in your life. He's talking about the dark moment. He's talking about your vulnerable moment. He's talking about your gullible moment. He's talking about the seasons of your poverty. The enemy sowed a trap for you. Because during those times, you were supposed to watch. In all things, with prayer and supplications, watch at all times. He says, my time has not yet, but the time is right for you. The world cannot hate you since you are part of it, but it does hate me because I denounce and testify against it. These are evil. Go up to the feast. I am not going up to the feast because my time has not fully yet come. But in another rendering, in John chapter 11 verse 10, they said to him that they are looking to kill you. Jesus told them that if anyone walks in the night, he does what? He stumbles. If you walk in the night, you will stumble. Starting from verse 8, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, teacher, the Jews were only recently going to stone you. You left because that time the rule of darkness was at work. And he says, and you are thinking of going back there again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 what? John 11, please put this there for people. If my message end on this with your understanding, I've done my work tonight. John 11 from verse what? From verse 8. Jesus answered and said, are there not, and whilst I was talking, I mentioned this. He said, are there not 12 hours for what? For light in the world, in the day. He didn't talk about the night, but basically he made the demarcation clear that we say that a day is what? 24 hours. But Jesus has separated 12 hours from what? From it. He is saying that, guys, yes, they wanted to kill me, but I can see the glory of God. The light is on spiritually. The sun is at its peak. And I'm saying this to you. We are not talking about the physical light. Yeah, there are people, their light is dim. They need to be fanned and flamed back alive. There are some people, if you walk with them, even if you are supposed to die, you'll be saved. Because they carry such great light that any sort of darkness that is like that has come closer to your door, they would expose it. When the angel spoke to Paul, when they had a shipwrecked, the angel specifically told Paul that because of him, the lives of the rest will be spared. And there are people too, they walk with the rule of darkness. They walk with darkness. Oh, the moment your son left the house to go and play with them, he's been knocked down by a car. Some people walk with darkness. Oh, come, let's go to this party. Oh, come, let's go to this. The moment they said it, what you are thinking about is your clothes. You are not thinking of a short moment. Father, I want to go out. This, that, that, that. God, help me. What do I do? You have no inquiries of your life. Let me ask you, if it is dark, as it was, I used to live in Ghana, but if it's dark and I have a torchlight and a friend calls me, please, can you accompany me somewhere? What I'll do is that, wait, I'm coming. I'll pick my torchlight and I'll pick my clothes. And then whether my friend will put their torchlight on or they won't put, I'll put mine on. So don't give the responsibility of your light on another person. Oh, I'm going with this friend. This friend there is always good. Oh, make sure that I'm okay. Is it? There were people that were going to bury dead people. And one dead person. By the time they finished the burial, four more people were dead. Dead body no kosum. The dead body that is going to die has carried four people with them. Jesus says something profound. He says, are there not what? 12 of light in the day. So the rulership of the day has a demarcation. Anyone who walks in the daytime does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. There is a daylight in the spirit realm. Can you imagine? Udiye, every daytime, area bonawada, you are sleeping. Jesus said there is a daylight. He wasn't talking about the day, because when they wanted to kill him, the sun was on as well. But he was telling him that there is a daylight that is approaching. They need to go back to Bethany. There is a daylight that is approaching. God is working things out for his glory. And because of the glory of God that comes with the daylight, no man, it is in this season that you, as a man of the spirit, a woman of the spirit, when you have been able to perceive this, this is when I expect you to boast in the Lord and then speak and say that nothing can stop you, nothing can take back, because you know exactly what you are saying, because you are speaking of the daylight that is ahead of you. Why? Because yes, you went to the interview, you failed. You went to the thing, you failed. But you came back to the mercy of God. And you were always at the altar of God, studying, praying, God, give me a turn around, a change. And your friends are like, you fail again. Then you will boast because you've encountered a light that is prevailing in glory in the next exams. That will shock the rest of your world, your colleagues. Then you can boast in the Lord. He says that anyone who walks in the daytime does not stumble, but because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him. Our time is up. Our time is up. Our time is up. There is a light that governs the spiritual day, and there is a light that governs the spiritual night. They are all forms of light, and don't take them trivia. There are seasons in the life of many on this platform that they were supposed to walk in light, but they relented. There are seasons in the days of people on this platform that they were supposed to watch in darkness, but they slept. They slept. They slept. There is poverty of lack of prayers that can engrave a person's life. Yes, from lack of prayer, because you lack watching. If you are not a watcher and you only scream when the armed robber has entered the house, what's good of you? There must be a preemptive way of watching. Remember, Jesus speaks of light, he speaks of day. He speaks of light, he speaks of day. A dimension of light has the ability to create the phenomena of time. Your light can help you redeem wasted years and wasted life. Hallelujah. Elizabeth Asante. Elizabeth, are you here? Elizabeth Asante. Hallelujah. You need a light. Somebody say, I need a light. We are praying. Give me 5 minutes of your time. We are praying. Every season of darkness that you have come into, what God needs of you is not to fight in the darkness. The sun does not bother with the moon when it is day. When it is day, how many of you see the moon? But do you know that it is still in the same sky? But the rule of light is at work. For you, sometimes it hurts me so much. The other day I saw a woman boxing, which is on TV. Like, I nearly cried because it was a grown old woman, just like my mom, in deception. Like, she's doing boxing, trying to kill the enemy, I was watching, I was like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Your problem is not darkness. Your problem is that as a light, you are failing to take the position of your glory in your time. The sun does not fight the moon. The sun does not fight the moon. You're praying. At every season of darkness that you have been in that has engulfed your life, you are praying to God that God will redeem you out of it. Elizabeth. Elizabeth Asante, are you back? Can you talk to us? You said, Rev, please, I'm live, but you are not talking. I can't hear you. If you're on your phone at the same time. Okay. All right. You know, whilst I'm speaking, there is somebody here. There is a serious family dispute, but it's to do with, I don't know if it is farming or crops or something like that, a serious family dispute. Because I see two trees, and I see, things have fallen off them, but it is in a village place where it looks like, you see, we'll say it's a Yesin Kunya, like, people have gathered to talk about this issue. Anyway, there is a lot of influence of darkness surrounding this issue. So whilst we are praying, please, if it is you, pray about it seriously. Amen. So you're praying to God. You are, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Can you imagine the sun calling you to complain that the moon is blocking him? Think about it. Can you imagine the sun calling you to tell you that this little moon is blocking him? The question you ask the sun is that, are you not the one that has been shining all these years? How come today the moon is a problem to you? Again, I repeat, darkness is not the problem. Your lack of light is the problem. We are praying. Every dark moment, dark season that you've come to, you are in, we are praying to God. Let the light that God has given you prevail in each season. In the mighty name of Jesus, lift up your voice and begin to pray for the next 5 minutes.